Happy Lord's Day. What a beautiful day it is. We thank God for that blessing. But before we start, I would like to ask you, if you'd be so kind, if you have not done so already, to please set your cell phone on silent. Please place your cell phone on silent if you have not done so already. We are fortunate again to be here in the Lord's presence. And sometimes it's beyond our comprehension of how good and righteous our God is. And that how He has made you. Made each and every one of us. He did it. He fashioned you in the womb before you knew who you were. He knew. He knows us better than we know ourselves. 2 Timothy 3:16 and verse 17, and I'll be reading from the New International Version. The New International Version. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. Again, where we need to be reminded of the fact that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We need to be reminded. Scripture needs to be read and reread and not rewritten. Let's look to the book of life. This is what Christians should do. It is what every Christian needs to do. Again, these words you've heard before, because it is that important. It is that relevant. For all of us, we're blessed to be here to be encouraged by the Lord's Word. We know that according to Scripture, an account was given concerning the earth's birth. A special event indeed, because all events must have a beginning. There's a young couple. They recently got married. Now, this is a story. I don't know if it's actually based on fact, but I could see it happening. A young married couple just got married. And so she's excited about the holidays. She wants to make her new husband the family ham. So she's in the kitchen making all kinds of noise and getting things prepared and stuff. And so that got the attention of her husband. So he comes going into the kitchen to see what's happening in there. And he gets there at that moment where he sees her cutting the end off the ham, picked it up, laid it to the side, and saw her cut the other end of the ham, picked it up, and set it to the side, and sees her, then takes that little ham and puts it in the oven. And so he sees those two pieces and asks her, "Why did you do that?" She stood for a moment. "I don't know. It's just something Mom did." "Well, could we call Mom and ask her why she did that?" So, So she's on the phone, and her husband's there, and she said, "Mom, I'm making the ham. And my husband wants to know why the ends are cut off." She said, "I don't know. Let me call Mom." "Okay." So she does a three-way calling. I'm sure we all know what that is. Yeah. So she gets mom on the phone. Mom, your granddaughter is making the ham for her new husband, and she was making it like we always do, and we were wondering, why did you cut the ends off the ham? And there was a moment of silence, and she said, oh, sweetheart, that's because the ham wouldn't fit in the pan. The lesson is, from that, we do a lot of things for granted because we just get in the habit. And we don't think about what are we doing. And more importantly, why are we doing it? And it could be just a simple answer, as in this little story goes. And so for us, it would do us good to go back to the beginning and see what happened, and why, more importantly, why it happened. So I'm going to be reading from Genesis. We're going to the beginning. Genesis 1:1. Again, I'll be reading from the New International Version, the NIV, where it states, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water. So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. And it was so. God called the expanse sky. And there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, let the water under the sky be gathered in one place, and let the dry ground appear. And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land, that their fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds. And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years. And let them be lights to the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day, and the lesser light to govern the night. He made the stars. God set them in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. There was evening, there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living and moving thing with which the water teems, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created. That song that we just sang, you are beautiful beyond description, seems appropriate. It seems too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension that man has ever seen or heard. Who can grasp his infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depths of his love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. Thank God for who he is. So we are reminded as to who made, created, and all that we see and are privileged to witness, as we have learned that he has made the days, which in turn into weeks, which turn into months, which turn into years, which turn into decades, which turn into the centuries, which turn into millennia, which turn into eternity. Now, as the days continue to count up, many of us must come to the realization that we don't have as many decades to count anymore. We don't have as many years to count anymore. We don't have as many months to count anymore. And it's getting iffy on how many weeks, let alone the days we have left to count, till we all depart to receive our reward. Again, that's why I like to encourage each and every one of us when I have the opportunity. We are all one day closer because it is a fact. We are all one day closer by God's good grace. And when we consider that we are here on the first day of the week, what, almost 51 weeks ago from when we were beginning the year, how time has flown, how we have been blessed, how that we've seen a lot of things the good Lord has done, how he has answered prayer, how he continued to do so, and how fortunate we are that he has given us another day. And for our young people, because we were there, we do not live forever. Again, every day that God has blessed you with, you're one day closer to your reward. But let us realize whose day each and every day belongs to. God made each and every one. And all the days that we are privileged to see belongs to the Ancient of Days. We are blessed when we realize that we are only participants. We are his guests while we walk his earth. And as his guests, should we not be considerate and kind towards our host and our fellow guests? But all of us may treat a certain day special. For example, a birthday, like some of us just recently had. Yeah, we treat it special with a little greater significance. Graduation, I know some of us are probably looking forward to that. An anniversary. Some of us may, who have the ability to remember, recall, I remember the event. I don't remember the day, but I remember the event on that day. The day of your first kiss. You may remember. I do. But let's review what Scripture reveals about treating days with a weightier concern. Romans 54, verse 5 through 12. Romans 54, verses 5 through 12. Again, where Scripture says, one man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. He who eats meat eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who abstains does so to the Lord and give thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both, dead of the dead and of the living. You then, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me. Every tongue will confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. These are written for our consideration as Christians as to how we should value each day. Consider each day sacred for his glory, for we know who's made them. Every day he's made, every day. Consider each day sacred for his glory. And not for other worldly events where someone may get more excited about that than the day of the Lord. far too many people get excited about other days than the day of the Lord. In verse 9, in Romans chapter 19, in the above reading, Christ died and returned to life because it is good to be reminded how it all started and how God's providence of kindness, we learn about the birth of Jesus. Again, we're going back to the beginning. Luke 2, 1 through 21. Luke 2, 1 through 21. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place in Quirinius, while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." Then they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. How fortunate we are, we have an account of that event. How wonderful it would have been if we would have seen it. Even to be what they would consider a lowly shepherd back in those days, to witness the heavenly host sharing the good news for all men. That includes us. That includes us to this day. We're not so far separated than one might think. Some, of course, the song "Joy to the World" comes to mind after reading these scriptures. For a lot of reasons to be joyful. But there's no greater reason to be joyful than what we've been received, what God gave us. The greatest gift. We know that according to Scripture, an account was given according to Christ's birth. A special day indeed. A special event must have a beginning. Would you not consider that event sacred? That event wonderful? a marvelous gift from God to all mankind, the birth of Christ Jesus, our Savior, the gift that keeps on giving. Some today try to remember that event as Christmas, a secular holiday, a time to celebrate. But truth be revealed, in Scripture, the 25th of December is not written in the good book. The exact date is not written in Scripture. But nevertheless, the miraculous birth was recorded for all to know. The fact that our Savior was born on earth is the most important thing to realize. God knew mankind needed a gift that only a loving God could provide. Let's read the facts that are eternally true. Romans 6:23, where it states, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." God has given us all that we need for life. He's provided this planet, according to the book of Genesis, water, air, gravity, atmosphere, everything, especially the gift of eternal life. But as with every gift one may be presented with, you must decide if you will receive it. Death or eternal life? Your choice. Always has been and always will be. It will be one or the other. A date that is to be considered and remembered is this: the first day of the week. Each and every week, according to Scripture. It is written in Acts 20, verse 7. On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread, which we are fortunate and blessed to do. And no matter where you are, no matter where you find yourselves, even if it's on the side, on the road, when you're quote-unquote on vacation, if it's on the side of the road, in a rest stop, wherever you may be, where God has brought you to be, we should take the time to acknowledge what the good Lord has done to us through this gift, His Son, the greatest gift mankind will ever know. Because God's goodness flows on us 24/7. He does not stop being who He is, because He never goes on vacation. We'd like to think we do, but in reality, we're still in His service 24/7. We belong to Him 24/7. He watches over us 24/7. He provides for us. You get the point. Our obligation to Him as our gift in return is that, yes, no matter what we're doing, where we find ourselves, we will make it a special attempt, because it is special to be here to recognize our Savior, to break the bread, to drink the blood, to remember this gift. Wherever we are. Again, according to 1 Corinthians 16:2, on the first day of every week, each one of you should have set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Again, the point being the first day of every week. So let's listen carefully to this admonishment that we have in Hebrews 10, verse 25, where it states, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing." Okay, I'm going to pause right here. It is unfortunate that many may have found it convenient to stay home after the danger of COVID has passed. This admonishment is for everybody. everywhere to not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. If you're getting in that habit, the word here encourages all of us, break it. There's nothing more important than what happens right here every week. Nothing. 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 That is something you and God is going to have to come to terms with, because he did not withhold anything. Nothing is held back. He's given the very best, the greatest gift for all of us. Despite what we may think about ourselves, saying we're unworthy or whatever, God made you worthy through the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, and that makes you and everyone precious in his sight. Now, this is a God who gave us everything. We went to the very beginning. Plants, food, light, Christ, everything that we need. We have no excuse. Don't make it up. Don't make one up. But let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. That's every first day of the week. How nice it would be if we were calling each other, texting each other, encouraging each other, looking forward to seeing you on the first day of the week when we break bread together, because that's what makes us Christian. It is his, our Christ, who died for us. But are we more excited about a holiday, a traditional holiday, than we are about meeting together at the first day of the week? The first day of the week, we gather together to remember our Lord and Savior when we break bread together. We are gathered together to remember his everlasting gift to us. Consider this, if you will, our gift to him. Our gift to him is how we conduct ourselves to please him in every way, every day. Colossians 1:15-17 is scripture letting us know some very important facts about our Savior. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. The song that we sing every now and then, Jesus, name above all names, seems to be fitting. Let's review verse 16. For by him all things were created. All kinds of various gifts come from him. All that we can see and things that we cannot. Gravity? But where will we be without gravity? Then that old saying, when you went and someone says, well, where'd you put that brush? It was there. It would still be there if there was gravity, right? So we don't have no. Yeah, anyway. Those things, there's a lot of things we should be grateful for, obviously. How can we show him our gratitude for all that he has done and can continue to do and will do? How can we show him gratitude? Let's consider what Joshua and his family decided to do with their lives for the Lord. When people of his time were struggling with direction and purpose of life and many other things that was not appropriate for their lives. In Joshua 24, verses 14 through 15, Joshua 24, 14 through 15, where it says, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshiped beyond the river in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods." That question is still relevant today. And the answer has eternal consequences. Whom will you serve? Do other gods get in your way from serving the one and only true God? The God that gives you life and sustains you by his mercies and goodness of love. Is your God alcohol? Your job? Your sports team? Your hobbies? Or anything else that you may have set before God? Consider this. If your hearts and thoughts and your mind is spent more on those things, worldly things, then God's desires and wants, and his desires and wants from you aren't there. You pushed them out. You made other things more important than God's desires and wants for you. We will all have to give an answer. We will all have to give an answer to the Almighty God. Consider your life for your Creator. Does he get your leftovers? Does he get your afterthoughts? Does he get your half-hearted effort? Does he get your best? Consider this. He has given us his very best. What should we do? The answer is in his scripture. Here's some more scripture to be considered for teaching, for rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. It was he who gave some to be apostles, he who gave some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach the unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, as each part does its work. Each part does its work. The latter part of verse 15 reminds us that each and every one of us has work to do to please our Savior. It is our gift to Him. Again, consider carefully. Are you more concerned about other work than the work that the Lord has for you? You can be assured it's not how many times you rooted for a certain team to win or how many trophies you've won. How is God glorified? How is that building up the body of Christ? Each of us will have to answer. We will all have to give an answer. of what is most important in our lives. And a lot of that is quite obvious. Where do you spend most of your time? 1 Samuel 5:22. But Samuel replied, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams." There it is. This is just one of many examples of what we need to do as Christians. The gift of His Son, according to the Book of Life, provides healing for our spiritual wounds. The list can go on and on because of His blessings. God has sent the very best gift we could ever ask for. Hopefully we all come to that realization sooner rather than later. Because the sooner we realize it, the better we would be. How we conduct our lives daily in serving and pleasing Him is our gift to Him. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. Also from the words of our Lord, according to Luke 17:10, "So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty.'" We must understand the words of Jesus Christ Himself in John 14:6-7. The words He spoke. Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. If you really knew Me, you would know My Father as well. From now on, you do know Him and have seen Him." Praise God. Praise the Son. Praise the Holy Spirit. It is not only good to be reminded of what we need to do as Christians, it is far better to do what Christians need to do. Of all the days that are special in our lives, there is one day that is coming that will surpass them all. In significance, in might, and in glory. That day is coming. Revelation 1:1-8. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which gave Him to show His servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending His angel to His servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that is, the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads the word of prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. We're all one day closer. The time is near. John to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from Him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To Him who loves and has freed us from our sins by His blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve God and Father. To Him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, He is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see Him, even those who pierced Him. And all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of Him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the good Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. We are all approaching that special day, a very sacred day, a marvelous day. Again, Christ has given us all that we could ever hope for. If we just realize it, it's in His book. He's provided. There's no guesswork. There's hard work. No guesswork. Hard work. But He makes a way. He provides a way. He gives all that we need, all the time, every time. And so, if our lives are not being to His glory, I suggest that we reevaluate. Time is getting short for a lot of us, not closer than others, but nonetheless, it's getting short. The lesson is yours. But again, I don't see anyone who isn't a member of the Lord's body, but if you are not, if you're watching on the live stream, there's some things that you must do to become a member. You must hear the word, believe the word, obey the word, be baptized, raise up a new Christian, a new birth, start your lives living for Him. So if anyone has any needs at this time, we'll stand together and sing the song of encouragement.